Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to the LA Steel Show. I'm Lila.
And Leo. And tonight we're going to be talking with George Dixon.
Again?
Yeah, it's Friday night.
Every Friday.
And or there are
most Fridays.
And but tonight we're going to be discussing, I believe, the timeline again. Last week's show we spoke about we talked a lot about a lot of different subjects actually, but I think we ended with the ascension. Actually, somewhat of an ascension consciousness, and we got into a dispute rather about a number of different issues. And
which really didn't have much to do with the timeline, but it had to do with the sensitivity of our issues.
It also had something to do with it. Remember this caller, Adam, had mentioned...
from California.
Had mentioned the fourth density, which is part of the... which is where we are essentially to ascend to.
Hopefully.
Part of our evolutionary process of ascension consciousness, as we break away from this consciousness, from the third dimension, and go into a higher dimension.
Maybe George can speculate on what that dimension would be.
It's nothing we've ever experienced, of course,
or perhaps he's read something on it.
Well, yes, but I mean, we're about to evolve. We're about to go into another area of evolution, and we're now at the end of our. We're nearing the end of our third dimensional evolution. And going into our fourth dimensional evolution. The odd thing is, I mean, even as we talk about this now, with the prospect of being there, is preparing us for that moment when it may happen. And I'm saying may because, you know, there's still speculation as to what it is, but I like to go back.
Something kind of points to it.
Yeah, I like to go back to the Hopi prophecy.
Could you say what that
four
is?
Four or five different prophecies, all relating to the last 200 or 300 years.
Could you state
what
the Hopi? Can you kind of summarize it?
But all of the Hopi prophecies have come true except for the last one, which was the one about the blue planet, and in fact. I don't know if I can reach this tonight here. I'm gonna. George hasn't called in. I hope nothing's happened to him. But
he'll probably call in.
Yeah, I'm just going to go over to the get it here. See if I can find it. The Hopi
prophecy. Find it?
Yeah, I got an Hopi elder, but let me check. Essentially, what we're looking at for the next 4th world. This is the Hopi. And it says the 4th world shall end soon, and the 5th world will begin. This the elders everywhere know. The signs over many years have been fulfilled, and so few are left. This is the first sign. We are told of the coming of white-skinned men, like Pahana, but not living like Pahana men, who took the land that was not theirs, and men who struck their enemies with thunder, which men with guns. This is the second sign. Was our lands will see the coming of spinning wheels filled with voices, In this youth, my father saw this prophecy come true with his eyes, and the white men bringing their families in wagons across the prairies. And the third sign was a strange beast like a buffalo, but with great long horns, will overrun the land in large numbers. These white feathers saw with his eyes the coming of the white men's cattle. Then the fourth sign was the land will be crossed by snakes of iron, which were railroad tracks.
Yeah.
And then this is the fifth sign. The land shall be crisscrossed by a giant spider web, which are power and phone lines. Okay? But also could be chemtrails.
Mm-hmm.
Thus is the sixth sign. The land shall be crisscrossed with rivers of stone that make pictures in the sun. Concrete highways and their mirage producing effects. That's what the crisscross rivers of stone. And now the seventh sign says you will hear of a sea turning black and many living things dying because of it. As are ocean oil spills. And thus, this is the eighth sign. You will see many youth who wear their hair long like my people come and join the national the tribal nations to learn their ways and wisdom. Now these were done. This was done many hundreds of years ago, or several hundred years ago. Is this prophecy?
We ought to see if George is on the line.
Yeah, let me just finish the final one. And it was the hippie movement. But then the ninth. The eighth sign, the ninth sign, and the last sign. You will hear of a dwelling place in the heavens above the earth, and that shall fall with a great crash. It will appear as a blue star, and very soon after this, the ceremonies of my people will cease. These are the signs that great destruction is coming. The world shall rock to and fro. The white man will battle against other people in other lands, and those who possess the first light of wisdom. And that's interesting because that's a rock, right? There will be many columns of smoke and fire, such as White Feather has seen the white man make in the deserts not far from here. Only those which come will cause disease and great dying. Many of my people, understanding the prophecies, shall be safe. Those who stay and live in the places of my people also shall be safe. Then there will be much to rebuild. And soon, very soon afterwards, Prana will return. He shall bring with him the dawn of the fifth world. He shall plant the seeds of his wisdom in their hearts, and even now the seeds are being planted. There shall smooth the way to the emergence to the fifth world. The white feather shall not see it. I'm old, Zolta. The old Indian fell silent. He then arrived in his destination. Reverend Paul Young stopped to let him out of his car. They never met again, and Reverend Young died in 1976, and so he did not live to see the further fulfillment of this remarkable prophecy. And in the final days, the blue star will awaken. Will awaken soon. It's coming. Are you ready for it? And that's what's supposed to happen. We're supposed to see a blue star, and it's supposed to take on the whole heavens. And we are supposed to be catapulted into that star, if you will. There's George. And George Dixon will be with us right now. Hang on. Hey, George. Hello, George.
Hello. George?
He probably walked away from
us. He's probably coming along. He'll be with us in a
minute.
Maybe he didn't get there.
Hello.
Oh, hi, George.
How are you?
Can you hear me okay?
It's okay. I thought it unmuted, and then it didn't. So how you doing, George?
I'm doing fine. How about you folks?
Yeah, pretty good.
Good. We were just reading the Hopi prophecy. Did you hear that?
Yes, I heard I heard a good portion of it. But my question is, what do you think that blue planet is? Could that be Nibiru or the 10th planet in our solar system?
Very possible. I don't know. But it sounds like it might
be. What other star has a blue look to it?
Cirrus. Mm-hmm.
You think could that star?
No, I don't think it's Cirrus. No.
No.
If nothing, it's the
The Bureau.
The Anunnaki and the Bureau.
Yeah.
They're coming back. Now, would the Anunnaki be able to? Are we supposed to rise to a fourth dimension or a fourth level here, or are we supposed to go into a? Are we going to be taken away? By the Anunnaki. What's the future here, George?
What do you think it means, George? You've done much more reading and on this.
Well, right. We're talking about the sixth day.
Yeah.
Now, the sixth day is understanding that we're going into a fourth dimensional reality where we're living in two worlds. We're living not only with the conscious mind, but also the subconscious or the emotional mind, or the dream mind, if you'd want to call it that.
Mm-hmm.
We are really in a waking dream right now. And understanding the fourth dimension is not limited by three-dimensional time. So that's why when we sleep and when we dream, we are in that fourth dimension. Now, let me just say one thing. It's kind of confusing because you hear people talk about the fourth world or fourth dimension or the fifth dimension.
Right.
Basically, it's the same level that we're talking about, but it's where your starting point begins. Does it start with zero or does it start with one? So understanding, the Eastern way and the Western way, the Middle Eastern way, it was one-dimensional less than what the Hopi and the Native Americans took for the fifth dimension.
Oh, yeah, they said the fifth world.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's the fourth world, the fourth dimension, or the fifth world, the fifth dimension.
Right. But depending where you're starting from.
It's a starting point, that's all. But basically, it's the same place. I mean, it's laying or it's rising this level of the reality that we've tuned into or we've focused into.
Now, can you describe at all? Have you read any thing that describes that next dimension for us more? I mean, will we still be earthbound, or will we not be earthbound?
Will we change our appearance at all, or will things?
Well, in the fifth world, fourth world, yes. Mm-hmm.
What would we be? What would happen to us?
Well, we would attract the consciousness that we're seeking or that we're in.
Ah.
And the fourth dimension is more of a dream state, where we actually reproduce our reality.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. So my question is this. I was thinking about it tonight we're seeing all this economic nightmare scenario here.
Yeah.
And it just gets worse and worse and worse and worse every day. But you're looking at it and you're saying, okay, how much of this are we manifesting and is being brought on?
Being thrust upon us.
Being pushed upon us, right, into our faces by television and the media. And how much of this can we actually turn around? Can we turn it around quickly, or can we, you can't help but people are getting laid off, people are losing jobs, money, banks
mm-hmm.
are running,
right.
blah, blah, blah. But if people tuned out to all the negative crap, okay,
right,
that's going on, and tuned on to positive thought processes, would we soon be reflecting those thought processes, and the world would start taking on another aspect.
Without a doubt, but you have to understand the reason why is because it doesn't have the energies to go on. Just like right now, we're being antagonized, I think, with see what we've done and how we're all going to have to suffer.
Yeah.
But it's not we that's suffering, it's they that's suffering. And the only suffering that we get out of this is by sticking to the rules or playing the game. So as the sooner that we detach from, you know, the hole that is out there that's got us, the better we'll be in just breaking away from it and living a new reality manufacturing a
our
new direction.
Yeah. So in other words, if we continue to consider positive reality, insist on a positive reality in our own lives and those around us, then chances are we will manufacture that or manifest that reality. Is that correct?
Well, without a doubt. But you know, but you have to watch out for what you're attaching yourself to, because you may see it positively, but other people may view it negatively.
Yeah, but you know what? To the extent that it is a positive affirmation and a positive manifestation, and if everybody else around you is going insane, all right, they can't judge reality. So
I think what George is saying is for what you wish for.
Well, yeah, I understand that. But what I'm saying is if it's not a harmful
you may be
desire,
though.
Well, what's harmful, Lila, other than shooting somebody?
Does it matter?
Somebody or whatever. I mean, it does, because, I mean, if you're saying that those people outside around you are affected by you, okay, then let them be affected in a positive way,
mm-hmm.
right? If you're projecting positivity, if you're projecting, right thought, right? But if you're projecting negative thought, if you're projecting negativity all around you, then yeah, your chances are you're going to attract that, and and that's what you're going to attract.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, my theory is to do the opposite. You know what I mean? Try to find some kind of a positive spin on things if you can.
Mm-hmm. Well, here again, it's only your perspective, but, you know, there is a positive point and there's a negative point too.
Yeah.
And there's a time for everything.
Have to listen to it if you don't want to?
Excuse me?
I said, do you actually have to listen to it? I mean, do you have to make it a part of you, that this negative aspect?
Well, no, but are you doing the same to the positive side? Positive is not all good for you. You need some change in there, and understanding even what's going on now. This is something that's already happened, or it's crumbling, and from the ashes we're rebuilding. But you know, it's inevitable, and it has happened, and now it will continue. Instead of holding on to something that's falling apart. We have to give it a chance to break down so we can rebuild it.
No, and when I think of those Lungold, what Lungold said in his lecture was that this time everything would start to fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
The economy, would start to fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
And it does. It has. But it's the end of this period. It's the end time. It's the end of this form of government, this form of economy, this form of reality.
Right. It's what we're building, what we've lived with and
right.
become accustomed to. That is all being torn down, and it's being built up again. But you have to understand that just because you may see something negatively doesn't mean that it's negative. You know, it may be positive to another branch of people or a point of view.
Yeah.
And the point is that we're out of that period now of polarizing things, either right or wrong. Understand they're both as equal as one another, and it's moving with that instead of focusing in on one or the other, because that's where we lose touch with the reality and only see it from one side of being, or from a right angle or from a left angle.
I see. Yeah.
Due to the fact that we are limited by the third dimension.
Physically, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But not mentally, not fourth dimension. we're not affected by the fourth dimension. The only thing that holds us is our own lack of imagination or willingness to focus in and do it.
Yeah, I can see that. So where are we now, George, in the timeline? Are we around, what, 1958 or so?
Oh, no. We're still 54, 55.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We're so early in the 50s.
Okay.
And last week we talked about some of the changes that happened at that time.
Right.
And you mentioned Eisenhower.
Mm-hmm.
It was the, establishment? What, Eisenhower became president in 1954, 53?
52.
Mm-hmm.
What do you remember about Eisenhower, Leo?
Well, I remember that he was tall. You know, as a kid, you know, thinking of him as president, I remember him tall and wearing a military uniform. Mm-hmm. That was my perspective as a child at the time.
I remember him, of course, as the, this was before I was born with World War II, but, everything that I've seen historically in the videos and movies and everything else,
mm-hmm.
he was a military leader. He was the first five-star general. He was the supreme commander.
And no one questioned anything that he said or did.
Well, yeah, they did.
Not when I was. I remember being a kid during that time, and he was very. You wouldn't read anything bad about him or negative in the press about him or anything like that. It was always I like Ike.
Yeah,
yeah.
And he ran on that, and he pretty much came in the way Obama did.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Very positive.
Very positive.
Yeah, but the thing is that Ike had a background. I mean, Ike was not an unknown like Obama.
Oh, well, this is true.
Yeah, no, I mean,
I'm talking about sentiment.
Plus, I mean, they won the war, so it's like, you know, this is the guy who was in charge. So it's just a logical step for him to be.
He did
president.
A lot.
Yeah.
You know, it was his job to rebuild and to solidify things and.
Well, actually, though, he didn't really, because it was under Truman that you had the Marshall Plan and all of this,
mm-hmm.
all right? And under Ike was more of a very, very non, it really wasn't a period of time where, it was a particular time of peace, really. And you had the Cold War, but at the same time you were arms building and everything else was going on, but it was more or less a time of prosperity in this country where everybody was on the GI Bill, everybody was going to college,
everybody was
coming back. And
Lots of opportunity for the middle class.
Yeah, it was a boom for the middle class. And then, of course, you had the baby boom, which was, everybody had four or five kids, three or four kids or something. So
I think, for my understanding, it was bringing things to an end, the era, the war years to an end.
Right.
Here's a military man who's been in a battlefield. But now he's home and he wants to make his country secure.
Right.
When it comes to being a politician, he wasn't. He was a military man. But he wasn't a capitalist either, in a sense. And I think one of the last things that he did say when he left office is beware of the military complex. Because he knew the power of the American people in mind if they put their focus together, what they could do.
Yeah.
And I think... being taken over by some of this military understanding is a threat to any government, but it's just power.
Mm-hmm.
But what I did do is that they did build a series of roads, road systems that would connect all of the whole country together. I mean, the states and the different rural areas. But if nothing else, he established. Setting that up and also building it, so
wasn't that Route
put a lot of people to work.
Yeah, wasn't it Route 66 or something?
No. That was the time when like the Massachusetts Turnpike was built and
mm-hmm.
all kinds of.
No, that wasn't built in 52.
I can remember going on that after you know, it was started then, the idea, the concept of those things.
Oh, maybe, So, but I don't think
it wasn't
it wasn't completed
at that time, but they were talking about all of that stuff.
It was putting it in motion, but one problem that we did have in the '40s and the '30s is that we didn't have a decent interstate system, and transporting goods for the war machine or for war products, you know, they didn't have that. So, if nothing else, what Ike did do is he built his road so he could transport if they needed to, you know, in protecting this country and also establishing an interstate system, you know, among not only the several states, but connecting us with, you know, with Mexico and with Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there was a lot that came out, but here again, it was not the last-ditch effort, but it was the ending off of the war and those war years, and it basically set us on our way for us to rebuild, you know, our machine shops and so forth.
Now, do you see a parallel to this time right now?
Well, I see a change coming on, and the change in change to the computers. No, it's an altogether different world.
See, to me, I don't know. It seems like there's a series of different things going on. You got the Great Recession, the Great Depression over again. So you're looking at the, you know, 30s, 40s timeline there. All right. Then you got the big war. You got these two wars that we're fighting. Okay. So you were really just in the 40s still, and then the mid to early 50s.
When was the Korean War?
It started 1950. In fact, June 25th.
Right.
1950.
It was under Truman. And
that was never really finished. That war.
No.
It was never a war. It was supposedly a police action. It was never declared a war. Just Vietnam was a police action. Okay, And, you know, so none of these wars were ever wars.
Officially wars.
Yeah. Even the Iraq war isn't a war, you know.
Well, it's military strong-arm tactics that men have been doing for years, and they'll continue doing it.
But it was never officially declared a war.
Yeah.
And by Congress. So it's like, these are what we've been playing with all this time. But to me, the parallel is more like, still more like in the 40s than
well,
really in the 50s.
Maybe
like
the timeline's not exact.
Well, maybe. How accurate is this timeline, George?
How accurate is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, do you think?
I think it's pretty darn accurate.
Oh.
If nothing, in the direction, you know, I think it's good. Now is a time of, you know, not to beware of what you dream for, but now we're at a point that, you know, watch what you dream for because you're going to get it. And it's not only being able to conceive it, but also to experience it too.
Well,
and right now we're having our cake and we're able to eat it at the same time.
Right.
And that could be good or that could be bad. And Leo, and this is what I was saying before, some people, that would make them sick. For some people, you know, it wouldn't. It would give them joy. So everybody would view it differently, but it's not the focus of by closing out, you know, the other half of that.
Right.
You have to combine it.
Well, I'm wondering, you know, my thought is this too. I mean, should we be as concerned about a collective consciousness or a unity spirit or a unity consciousness
mm-hmm.
when we know that the unity consciousness could be detrimental. It could be a negative consciousness. Okay.
But not necessarily.
Well, not necessarily, but the consciousness that we see now, that's most prevalent, is a negative consciousness, right? Not a positive one. I don't know if that's uniting.
No, I wouldn't say that, Leo. What are you referring to?
Well, I'm referring to the global collapse here, the global financial collapse. That's what that, you know. That's what I'm looking at, and I'm also looking at the possibility of global government. Okay, one world government that seems to be looming.
So, is that collapse good or is it bad?
Bad. It sounds terrible, actually. Okay. It sounds
okay.
As hell. Right. And one world global dictatorship.
Okay, then Leo, how do you change it?
How do you change it through your you change it through attack, you change it through your own belief system. You know, you have to alter you have to change destinies.
Okay, all right. But before you can do that, what you have to do is that you have to let it fall. Or have it fall by itself, so you can rebuild over it.
I thanks for that that email you sent me with the mind control.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow, is that scary? Yeah, between the eugenics and the mind control and all the projects that are now. I mean, we're being controlled now by these projects and you know the eugenics. You know, and it hasn't stopped.
Where are you going now, Leo? You just were on one track.
No, I'm on
okay.
The reason I
like
mentioned it is that's a negative to me.
Mm-hmm.
That's one world government to me. That's one world dictatorship to me. That's where we're headed. I want to alter that. I want to change that. I don't want to be a part of that, all right? I don't want to be any part of that kind of system, all right? So how not to be a part of that system is you have to rebel against that system.
No. You don't rebel.
Yeah, well, if you don't accept it, then you're rebelling against it.
No. You're not rebelling against it.
You're rejecting
No, you're doing nothing. By rebelling against it, you're actually adding fuel to it by keeping it alive from the other perspective.
So rebelling against it, let me see if I understand it correctly. If you're rebelling against it, you're attracting more of that energy to it.
That's correct.
And makes it stronger. That's what you're
saying.
That's
correct. You're keeping it alive.
Okay. You're fueling it.
That's right. You're fueling the fire.
Okay.
And so what I'm saying is that you drop it and just walk away from it.
And then there's less energy to that, and it could die a natural death.
Right, but understand, you don't have to cancel it or cancel out the thought of the charge. You know, you just let the charge go. By you redirecting that charge, you're adding fuel to it, but also you're bringing it upon yourself.
Yeah, but it's kind of like this. So if I see somebody, if I see a car headed toward a kid in a road, or anybody in a road, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And I have a chance to save that person and grab them out from the oncoming truck or car.
Mm-hmm.
What I've done, basically, if I hadn't done that, the person would have been dead. If I do it and save the kid or the person, that person would be alive and live for another day. So, obviously, my intervention made a difference, okay, in the outcome of that situation, all right, to the betterment, all right, you know, because you...
Well, you don't really know.
Well, of course you do, because you know that it's better to save a person than to have them smashed by a truck, all right? I mean, it's logical, all right, that would be. So what I'm saying is if you've altered a person's reality, all right, possibly even your own by doing it, but if you hadn't done it, that person probably would have died, okay, and the truck would have, you know, whatever, and you know, it would have changed all kinds of realities, all right, around, to the good and to the not definitely not to the best, because the person would have died, truck driver would have been, you know, trouble, who the hell knows, families would have been affected, but by saving that person, all right?
Yeah, but Leo, who died and left you God? What right do you have in saying if a saving a person's life is a good or bad? Who's to say that it's not karma, that that person has to experience that, and what you've done is that you stepped in and interfered with a process that had to be played out because you didn't like the way you seen it.
Yeah, well, Christ himself was walking around saving lives and saving everything and interfering with everybody.
Yeah,
right?
But let's go back to this boy here by saving his life. Let's don't bring Christ right now into it. Look at it for what it is. Who's to say that you know what's best for that boy, for him dying or him being saved?
Well,
from a unity consciousness perspective, it's your human nature to reach out, you know, and protect him. But here again, you know, if something was meant to be and he needed to experience that, you know, he will, with or without you. But, you know, for you to go in there and change and bring it to your way of thinking is not right either. You don't have that right to do that.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Personally, I think I do. And I'm not playing God. I'm just being a human being. A compassionate human being.
Right, but understand that you must face the consequences for being a human being and stepping in.
But I have to pay the consequences of being a human being if I don't step in and watch it happen.
That's right.
So I have to live with myself knowing I could have saved somebody's life, but because I was following my own whatever the hell I was following, twiddling my thumbs, somebody died that I could have saved. But
yeah.
The other thing, I mean, why the hell do doctors even become doctors, or lawyers become lawyers, who, you know, defenders?
Why people have surgery.
Yeah, or why do policemen become policemen, or why do people have surgery? It's because they want to save their lives. If they just let their lives go, they'd die, okay? If you had no physicians, you know, there'd be nobody to fix you. If you were sick, if you had no attorneys, there'd be nobody to defend you. If you were, you had to go to court.
I'm laughing, Leo, because you know I'm remembering back here. My cardiologist is a Mexican fellow, and you know I joke with him. This is his karma coming back from being an Aztec. And what's happened in this lifetime, you're paying back the karma from all the hearts that you tore out before.
Oh, Jesus.
Just jokingly, you know, but who's to say that, you know, karma is not the ending of things that are started, you know, in past lives, but also
it's an ongoing thing because to me, personally, I mean, a karmic life, I mean, whatever you're doing, let's say you have no will. No, let's say you have no choice. Okay, maybe you're totally manipulated into what you're doing. You know, by a higher force. Right. So you have no choice but to follow through to follow through your earthly punishment or your earthly joy or whatever it is that you're.
Well, it is the earthly experience.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about this many, many shows ago. That karma, a reincarnation, this was only brought in about 15,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And even the belief systems in focusing in on that. But it is a time where we did go into a sleep in the precession of the equinox, where we are changing right now and we are waking up again.
Mm. Well,
so tell me, you know what fascinated me, George? That other that video you sent me on the miracle mineral.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a fascinating thing. I was.
Well, you have to explain it to the listeners.
I was
they have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, I'm going to get into it here.
Okay. Well, tell me.
But this guy, I think his name was John Humble.
Mm-hmm.
He invented this thing a number of years ago, and the modern miracle, the miracle mineral supplement was his invention, and what it does is it cures malaria, cures every disease, right? Every disease and what it is, it's a stabilized oxygen, a chlorine chlorine dioxide, right? And mixed with
have you tried this, George?
No, I haven't.
Yeah,
I've tasted it a few times, and I know some people who use this in different therapies, and it does do, but it's a natural balance for the body.
Has it been successful for them?
Oh, yes, very much so, yeah.
Were they suffering any illnesses?
No.
Before they tried it?
Oh, well,
sorry, George, go
No, what it did do is it just focused in on sick cells or bacteria. It's like ozone therapy.
Mm-hmm.
It all focuses on oxygen, and controlling the oxygen within the body to a level where it's beneficial.
So the theory is that our blood cells are not carrying enough oxygen to the parts of the body, and parts of the body are starved for oxygen, and therefore they're susceptible to bacteria and viruses. Is that kind of what?
Well, I think it's an alternative on some of these diseases we have within the body by just turning the neurochemical designs of them differently, or actually reprogramming him to do different things.
Well, see, to clarify, what he did, he created a water purification tablets or something, water purification system for a prospector, and he had people working for him and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he was working in Guyana, I believe it was, prospecting for gold.
Oh.
And he had four or five guys and his crew come down with malaria, and they got extremely sick.
I'll bet.
And he said that, that was an area they didn't expect to have malaria. There wasn't cases of malaria there, but they got it.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that what he did is he asked them if they wanted to try his purification tablets. He said it might work. And within 4 hours, these guys were chronically ill, and within 4 hours. They were all right. They were fine. They were back to normal. And they found that it works beautifully on malaria, but it also works on all types of funguses, all types of parasites, all types of and they've even cured cancer with it, pancreatic cancer and other things through this, and AIDS and many things. And his place was funded by a millionaire, a billionaire, probably Gates or somebody, but to try this on the island of Haiti, okay, in the country of Haiti.
They suffer a lot of AIDS.
A lot of problems.
Mm.
And he did do that, and he started it, and they saved, they cured over 100,000 people of different diseases. And then what happened was the guy was going to try to cure the entire country.
Mm-hmm.
And the drug companies Kevin called the president of Haiti and said that they would not provide any more drugs for any of their hospitals if they didn't stop using this stuff. All right. So he and kicked him out of the country. So what happened was is they said we can't afford not to have drugs for our hospitals. We have to stop.
From doing whatever.
This. So he left and he went to Mexico, but he continued on, but so on. But the what I'm getting at is that in that interview, toward the end, I don't know if you noticed it, George, or not, but in the end, he was talking to the interviewer and he said, he says, one thing I recognized, he says, and he's about, I don't know, 75, 80 years old. He says, one thing I've understood, he says, is that there are many of us that have come back to help humanity.
Mm-hmm.
You know that?
Mm-hmm.
Did you remember? Did you hear that?
Yes, I did. Mm-hmm.
And that caught me. And the interviewer said, "Yeah, I know."
Didn't really catch it, or
no, he caught it. He said, "Yeah, I know." He says, "I'm one of them. You're one of them." And he said that people are finding out about each other now.
Mm-hmm.
He says that these things are all happening as they're supposed to, but we're supposed to find each other,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because there's all these people that are here that came back, reincarnated from somewhere,
really?
Mm-hmm. to
yeah.
help humanity through this period, through this period of change. You know, and
pardon me.
And he believed he was one, and it made me think for a minute because it almost acted as it was almost like a call to action, you know, like an awakening there that I had, and I said, well, maybe that's, you know, there are people that make sense because I had my horoscope done there by a karmic horoscope done by Maria's friend,
the one from Florida.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice lady.
And she explained what we come back for, all right, and what we have to face coming back. And what she said, I mean, she really didn't know me much of my past or anything, but what she said was that I came back to teach, all right? I came back for my life would be a grind of... what's the word? It'd be designed to teach. You're here to teach something. You're here to say things.
Impart knowledge.
Imparting things. And she says that's what you're here for. That's what you came back for, because of all these T's in my, you know, horoscope. They call them T's and stuff. Transformations and transits. I don't know, but she explained what it was, and for the first time in my life, it kind of like my light went off, and I said, that explains why my life has been so bizarre, right? Because of these things. And she said, this is what your life will be. And I said, holy cripes, this is what happened. And the odd thing was, I mentioned this on one of the shows. I don't know if I mentioned it on the Friday night show or not. But after I heard that, I told my mother about it, and she says, "Gee, that makes sense." And I said, "Why?" She says, "I never told anybody." She said, "But the day you were born," she says, I had a dream right before you were born." She says, "I had this dream," and she says, "There was a bunch of people like in heaven, like around in a cloud, like in the sky." And they were all arguing, and you were and they were all trying to convince you. She said, I saw you, and she said, I saw what you were going to look like as a person, and everything as an adult. And they were arguing with you, trying to tell you that you had to go back down. You had to go back and be reincarnated, and you would refuse to do it. You didn't want to do it.
There you go.
And she said, she remembered. She said, I remembered you said, I've been down there so too many times, I never want to go back. I'm done. I don't want to go back. And then everybody, then the
he got pushed. Bye.
There you go.
And the four or five people that were like counseling me to go and trying to convince me to go.
Go willingly.
you know, we're continuing to argue. And then all of a sudden, I guess what happened is I jumped into the cloud. And went down, and she said at that moment she had labor, and she was giving birth to me. And,
there you go.
And she said it was. She said she never told anybody about that because she thought that it was just a crazy dream. But then when I told her about the reincarnation aspect of
your chart
and what the chart was, she went, "Wow, that makes a lot of sense now." She says, "I never that dream never made sense, but I always remembered it." You know, and so I was pushed back down here. I want to come. I was pushed down here, forced down here to finish up what I, you know, to because I was supposed to be some kind of a that thing to the world, I guess. So that I had a reason for coming back. I was very reluctant to do it, but I had a reason. So that explains my reluctance being here.
Years ago.
No, but what it explained to me was why I was so rebellious throughout my whole life.
And so angry.
And so angry about, you know, if I...
About life in general.
Well, not life in general, but I mean, it just, I was angry if somebody was, if, you know, I didn't have any patience with anybody. You know what I mean? If I had very little patience. I got a lot more as the years went on, but when I was younger, I had no patience with anybody.
I think they call it humility.
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 Yeah, humility. I still don't know if I have any of that, but working on it.
Well, maybe you should sit back and be humble and shut up and watch it happen.
I don't know.
I
think that's what I was down here for. So I was supposed to beat people over the head with sticks and stuff, you know.
You know, to go back to the supplement that was you were talking about.
Oh yeah. I don't know. Yeah. That subject, but yeah.
Go ahead, George.
Back in the 90s, I was very much involved with psychotronics.
Right.
Which is what, George?
Well, that's the study of the mind, but also the study of the electricity around the body.
Right,
and,
okay.
With that, I've experienced a lot of different healing methods, you know, using energies with radionics, with tuning into the different frequencies of the body.
Mm-hmm.
And DMSO and helping rejuvenate cells, you know, and oxygen ate them,
yep.
You know, like they should be. But, you know, at that time I realized that, you know, there is some power holding this knowledge down. And, of course, you know, it's part of that greed reality that we've been living in for years with the AMA and so forth, you know, to control something. Is worth money,
right.
But there are natural ways to neutralize a lot of these diseases, and I mentioned before. I think right now with the technology that we have the ability to cancel out and destroy any disease you know that we can identify.
That's what he said. And he said it's time that people have the ability to self-heal.
Yes.
He says, people have that ability, and we just have to give them the knowledge on how to do it. He says, but people have to be free of the AM, of these doctors and these,
absolutely,
these drugs and these other things.
Well, right, but it has to be exposed for what it is,
right.
And then people will see it for what it is and not give it the power or go to it.
That's
and
right.
I think that's part of what we're experiencing right now. People see the other side of the coin and how these pharmaceutical industries are, you know, charging $100 for a pill when you could pick up for 5 cents in
yeah.
Puerto Rico or Cuba, you know.
Right.
Well,
right.
They're charging $100 for a pill that really hurts you too.
Yes, yes. Well, that's the other factor in controlling you, look at powers for quite a while have been doing this, and including Nazi Germany is just one example, you know,
yeah.
The test and so forth. But that I'm sure continued on. But my point is that, you know, right now I've seen all the cures for these ills over the years that have come to the surface. And I've talked about a super energized water, how we could clean up almost 80% of all the pollutions in the world by altering basic water, and that's just giving it a couple additional electrons. And what it would do is it would revert everything back to a natural state, an organic state. And
we have Anthony on the line here. Hello, Anthony.
Hey, everybody.
Hello,
I'm listening in. I was ran out of another meeting so I could at least listen in before you all got off. So keep on going, George. I love it.
Yeah. But I think I've come to the inner realization that the only problem now in changing it is just changing it. But we have to have the will or the understanding to do it. And the only understanding we need is a free mind and with a clean heart. And you know, we can attach to anything we want, but it's by doing it freely, not by being a force into it.
Just to bring, I don't know if Anthony, if you were listening to our talk, but we were talking about this discovery by a gentleman named John Humble, who developed the miracle mineral supplement, all right, which basically cures everything, you know, and it's he's given it to the world, and he's given it, he's cured hundreds of thousands of people with it, of all types of diseases, from cancer to AIDS to malaria, everything. Because it works on virtually all illnesses.
Right, when he calls it the miracle mineral supplement.
Miracle mineral supplement. MMS. Have you ever heard of that, Anthony?
No. John Humble, I'll definitely do the research and rewind the show and listen in. Now, does it come with a free 3-month supply of snake oil?
No, actually, it's not a pill. It's a it's chlorine dioxide, which is stabilized oxygen, and what it is it's a liquid. But but it's activated with lemon with either a lemon juice or vinegar, some
cider.
Or acid,
vinegar, yeah.
And what it does is it releases the power of this stuff and as it's absorbed into your body, because you can drink it, and as it's absorbed, what it does is it targets the ailing place in your body, the you know, whether it's a fungus or wherever it is, and it oxidizes or oxygenates rather that particular area.
It starves the bacteria of its energy, of its nutrition, and it just starves to death.
Right.
Sounds like a super antioxidant.
That's right.
That's what it is. And what it does is it actually blows holes. It blows a hole into the cell. For instance, if you have a cell that's attacked by a parasite or a disease or bacteria or whatever, it will rather than, what happens is he said that an antibiotic goes and treats specifically that. But what it does is it doesn't destroy the cell. It goes in and tries to
cure the cell.
And attack the nucleus. This thing, what this does, is supposedly goes to the cell, actually blows a hole through the cell, all right, and then which kills the parasite, all right, because the parasite can't live with that cell. And then what it does is it repairs that cell. The cell repairs itself.
Did you give the online reference so we could do our research on it?
Actually, George
it's
is
part
one
of the Project Camelot interview with Jim Humble.
Yeah, Project Camelot. You can just go into Jim.
You go to YouTube.
Is it Jim Humble or John Humble?
Jim Humble.
Jim Humble.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And Humble.
Oh, yeah.
And
Check it out.
Absolutely amazing interview. And the guy's probably around 75, 80 years old, probably. But
and where do you get the water, or where do you get the
product?
Well, there are people that make it up. He doesn't do that. He said years ago that he was able to buy some for people and give them a bottle or two. And I think the snake oil, Anthony, is a bottle, I think, about 4 ounces, and it costs something like $20. And
he said that
bottle would be enough for you for a couple of years,
right,
by putting drops into water and diluting it, whatever the dilution
is. And we can get it by way of Project Camelot?
Well, you can hear about it through Project Camelot, and there are references there where give you locations of dealers that you can purchase the stuff.
If you go, I did a Google search on it, and I checked it out, and there are dealers online for it, and they talk about the Humble video. They talk
yes.
about Project, and they talk about the different things.
George,
so
there's
plenty of stuff you can check out for that.
I find it very interesting of his choice of last name.
Well,
Bumble?
And he is. If you listen to him, he's a fascinating guy, just a fascinating old guy. And, I thought, you know, it was over an hour-long interview, and he talked about how he discovered it, and he discovered it. Well, he had created it through his own water purification that he had done because he was a prospector. And he also, this fascinating guy, a brilliant guy, and he also found ways of mining gold without using chemicals like they do today.
Hmm.
Now he does it through water.
So he didn't poison them.
No, yeah, and totally eco-friendly. But
the
he saw, but through these experiments that he did through the mining thing, he created a water purification substance, and it purified water beautifully. And then he found that it also made him healthier, right? And then he was four of his guys that were working for him in his mining company came down with malaria when he was working in Guyana, and he asked them if they wanted to take try this purification, and they took it, and within 4 hours they were perfectly well again. They had destroyed the bacteria, and the malaria was gone from their system. And this is how he realized that he had something, even that he didn't think it would cure malaria, but he knew it would might make him better. But he gave it to them, cured the malaria, and then he went through and then he started healing people with this stuff. He perfected it further, and created found out that he could heal malaria, he could heal cholera, he could heal anything.
Well, George, you sent us the video. Do you believe this, or are you skeptical?
No, I believe it 100%.
You believe it 100%?
100%, yeah.
Okay.
You know,
well, you know, I'm going to have to be a guinea pig and go online and do my best to try to get a bottle and give a report.
I ain't going to order one myself because I just saw the video yesterday when George sent it to me, and I was fascinated by what he said, and I looked it up, and it's there, and I just had to think about it for a day or so before I decided to order it. I went down to a health food store locally and asked them if they had that and they weren't even aware of it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I asked him if they heard about chlorine dioxide, and the guy says no, but he said he hadn't. But made two or three calls to his suppliers and asked if they had it, and they said no either, mm-hmm. that they didn't have any MMS. Mm-hmm.
So maybe you have to get it online.
So he was very, very curious because he says he had heard that chlorine dioxide could possibly, it was a super... A super drug,
yeah.
But he didn't know. He had never heard of the miracle mineral supplement. So, but it's out there, and it just go into a Google search, and it'll come up, or put in Jim Humble, and it'll come up as well.
It's nice to know that can help people.
It's been years since I've looked into it, or I was exposed to it, but you know, it all comes back to the powers or the understandings that we have. We have now the technology to undo those ills most of these ills that we've produced ourselves over the years.
Yeah.
But through natural means, you know, that's the way to look at it instead of artificially trying to mask it or to change it.
Right.
But one thing I have learned over the years is water is very important. Water is very important to us because it is part of our environment. Even our body is made up 80% water, even more than that.
So obviously the purification of that water is critical. So if you get rid of the any bacteria or anything that's in it.
Understands that the water is an oxidizer. I mean, it's poison to begin with. Oxygen is good for you, but it's also very bad for you. So understand, it plays a dual role, a dual balance. And if nothing, it is the combining all the powers, that the physical powers that we be, into a substance that is either beneficial or harmful.
Well, that's why you mentioned that the ozone was more effective than ozone, because ozone was kind of like, you know, it oxygenated all areas, or it affected all areas that
yes.
need it, as opposed to just like, it's like radiation. It went after large areas as opposed to the isolated areas,
mm-hmm.
and killed
the targeted areas.
Yeah, and killed other.
Well, the problem with ozone is that you can't get internally that far into the body with it. You can't do that. If you could get it into the body, you know, it's more beneficial. Here's a way where you're dealing with the water, the fluids of the body, where it would circulate the good host.
Yeah, and the amazing thing is he said that once it's used up, it turns into like a grain of sand, basically.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And not sand, a grain of salt.
Salt, yes.
Actually, sodium.
And,
all right,
and
so
it's
like
right.
a little salt. So it does absolutely no harm to the body whatsoever,
mm-hmm.
and goes after the harmful elements in the body and destroys those. So it's that's why he calls it a miracle mineral supplement. It's a miracle.
Well,
I certainly look forward
to getting some.
I'd like to get some. Yeah, I did some research today on it, and I think I'll be as soon as I find a supplier for it, I'll get some.
And if Anthony gets some and he tries it and you try it, and George, do you have some at home?
No, I don't.
You'll have to try some.
Oh, he also put it on the. He also has. He's got a book out too, or something. Set out for a while, but he actually puts the formula in the book, okay,
mm-hmm.
and how to apply it. You can apply it topically. You can apply it, and you can have it internally. He's giving the formula to anybody, okay. All he asks is that people don't charge too much for it. All right, if you make it, you know. And he said that the many people out there. The price that people are charging for those who have made it,
yes,
mm-hmm. is $20.
Right.
So it's $20 for so many ounces.
Do you have the book? Do you have the book title, George? I mean, Leo.
No, I don't. You can get it. Go put in Jim Humble, you can probably it'll probably come up. I forgot to look at that. I don't know why I didn't think about the book. But I was more involved with getting information on the.
Well, Project Camelot interview with Jim Humble.
Yeah.
They post him as the man behind MMS, Miracle Mineral Supplement.
Right. I think that's the name of the book too.
Mm-hmm.
But.
We really appreciate you sending us that, George. I think that's.
You know what? You know, Amazon's got every book ever printed. So
it's probably on there.
If you go to Amazon, put in Miracle Mineral Supplement.
You're not going to be able to find some of these books in the open market because these publishers wouldn't touch us with a 10-foot pole.
Right, but he might have published it himself.
Right.
Well, it makes sense that, and if this is true, then, you know, the way for it to come about and for any great change to manifest is through a grassroots movement, because of course corporation is not going to push something like this. So the people are going to have to demand it, and it starts with us.
Interesting.
But Anthony, it is true. It's not something that we have to verify. It is true.
No, it's just I'm driving in the car, and you know, I'm just
right.
getting home, and I haven't, you know, it's not like I don't believe you. I'm just making a general statement, and okay, let's say it is true. The only way it's going to take hold is through us, people like us, that spread the word, and the people demand the change. It's not going to happen any other way.
That's right. And he said this, and he said that it has always been a grassroots movement, okay, and he's wanted to keep it that way. He's tried not to do too many interviews. He's avoided the national media like the plague because he doesn't want the thing being bought up or being stopped production or the FDA putting a stop on it or something. You know what I mean?
See, now, I
it just makes sense. It makes sense, and it's, I just felt that intuitively.
Yeah,
I love this. Isn't this the sixth day, the Renaissance of our time, not of the 60s? So this is the Renaissance that we're going to experience.
Right, right. And you know, seeing that, George, it was like, it inspired me because it's like, it's time now for that. It's time self being able to self heal.
Well, you have to take the responsibility to take care of yourself.
But people have to know. People have to know that it's available.
Well, they get the knowledge can take the responsibility. We have to stop relying on others for everything.
That's right.
And Lila, you are 100% right with his name. The synchronicity of humble and this being a cure for mankind and him, Jim Humble, not wanting to bring this about and only wanting it to manifest from the humility of a grassroots movement, the synchronicity is perfect.
Yeah, I thought so.
Now, you ready for this? Because I hope you can see that that video, Anthony. You'll be amazed. But what he said, and I brought this up earlier, but what he said was, and he turned to the interviewer and he said, it's time. He says it's time that we. It's time that everyone knows that. He says there's a lot of us that have come back to help humanity. He says we've come back to help humanity. So he's calling himself a reincarnated spirit, just like. And the guy who was doing the interview said, "I understand what you're saying." And he says, "There's millions of us." He says, "And we came back. We all decided to come back to help humanity through this period of time." And he says it dawned on me that that's what we're here for. And he says, and that's what he's done. And he's cured over 100,000 people with this stuff personally. I mean, he's gotten groups and clinics and everything, and cured people all types of diseases.
There's so much going on.
And this was back. And this video was done 2 years ago. So he's cured many more people since then. But he's stationed out of Mexico because they allow him to operate a clinic down there. Without being harassed by the pharmaceutical companies and so on and so forth, and out of the main off the radar of the FDA, you know. So, but it's growing, and he's put the formula out there for everybody, and he's encouraging everybody to
take advantage
to create it themselves. He says it's very easy to create. It's not that hard to do. It's a simple. It's a simple thing to do. So to get that you can make so much per as much as you want of it. So that's what.
I would say part of the experience that we're going to experience between now and 2012 is that first of all we found a cure for our ailment, and that if nothing else is a supplement. But, you know, instead of having to get the supplement to cure yourselves, who's to say that we can change whatever needs to be changed within our body by consciously thinking about it or by consciously doing it instead of having something external intervene?
He said that, too. He says a lot of healing, he says, that is learning to focus your attention toward.
That's right.
The organ or toward the healing of a specific disease that you have, or organ that's being affected, and focusing on the healing of that, he says, because most people don't. They just panic or they worry. Oh, they get some kind of drug or something else to fix it, or they ignore it. But he says you have to focus on that. But he says by using this particular stuff, he says you'll find it. It's fantastic, and he says it works on everything he's ever tried it on.
Yeah.
So,
but for 2 years we've been talking about thinking or praying about it, and miracles do happen.
You can do it by
yourself.
It happens. It comes. You know, it's like Emerson said. He says whatever you are meant to hear, you will hear.
Yeah.
It'll come to you some ways through some winding way, but he says whatever was meant for you to hear. Will get to you, and you will hear.
And if you don't get it the first time, it comes back again.
Right, it comes back in threes.
Yeah, it's like Anthony was meant to hear this. I was meant to hear these shows, and everyone was meant to hear. Whoever listens to the show was meant to hear it because it wakens them up to some other aspect that they have to know about. You know, so
talking about this gives you a good feeling, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it's really nice to think about something like that and kind of end the show on this nice high note. It makes me feel really good.
Yeah, we can
there
hear
we go.
So just for the audience, I'll make sure that I repeat it again, which is the Miracle Mineral Supplement, MMS, and Jim Humble, H-U-M-B-L-E. And
there's a website here to purchase this, which is www.healthwithmms.com.
Healthwithmms.com, okay.
That's right.
Thanks very much, George.
Okay.
I think that's his website, too.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, I think healthwithmms.com. I think that's his mm-hmm. website.
Yeah.
He said. So.
Good stuff.
Yeah. All right, so... Guys, thanks so much for joining us, and Anthony and George, thanks forever for being with us.
And thanks to all our listeners, and I hope everyone has a great weekend and has fun and has good health.
Yeah. So good night, guys.
Good night.
Good night.
Godspeed.
Good night.
Good night.